welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I feel like my, I don't know if you heard it, but it felt like my entire body had been holding that hello in for weeks. My body was like, we got this. And in case you can't tell, when you're going to listen a few minutes into the episode, I start the bulk of the episode, like the rest of the episode, talking about how, like, wow, my lungs haven't reacclimated to speaking out loud this much. Please know I recorded that before this intro. This is the last thing I'm recording for the episode. Just compare and contrast how throughout the episode, it, like, my breathing has improved. My body has adjusted back to podcasting. We are so back, baby. We are back for 2025, even though this is technically asterisk, not a full-blown episode and not the episode that I planned and scheduled for this week. As you know, California. We're going to get into it a little in this episode, but I'm trying to keep things as positive as possible. So, obviously, I've been a little preoccupied. I haven't had as much free time as I anticipated in this. I was like, this is going to be my only break of the year. I'm going to just go through the whole year. I'm going to take these 2 weeks. I'm going to do pre-production for everything. And that didn't quite happen. I evacuated. I was out of town. I was with Pearl. I was with my family. I was with friends. I was gathering donations and delivering donations and doing so much digital stuff related to fires and trying to just basically help the people I love who are in a unprecedented situation try to figure out how to find their way back. I have been preoccupied with that offline because to me, that is very important. That is the most important thing right now, is to make sure that my friends and my loved ones are taken care of. So now that a lot of that work has been done, there is so much more work ahead, but I was able to kind of take a few days, take a little break. I went out of town, which you're going to hear about. But also today I was able to make an episode and really sit at my desk and concentrate and get some things done that I plan to do over the last 2 weeks. So we are back. We are back next week. We will have a full episode. This is a mini-sode, which basically means it's me gabbing. And yeah, it's me gabbing. I mean, it's always me gabbing, so maybe it's not that different. But I just didn't want you to like be like another Wednesday where I have to drive in silence. So we are here. We are having a conversation. And I hope you enjoy. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for your understanding, your flexibility, your compassion, your knowing that I would come back and just being okay with me taking a break here and there. I really needed a little break at the end of the year. December was mania, going from Treasure to my pre-scheduled family vacation and trying to wrap up a podcast episode literally in a hotel room in a bathing suit was tricky. I'm glad I got it out. That one was so important. I did not want to delay that. I didn't want to wait an extra week and be like, I'm just enjoying myself. Like, we can talk about the Treasure wherever. Like, no. We had to talk about the Treasure the second the Treasure got off the Treasure. We had to talk about the Treasure. It was amazing. And I thank you for your flexibility, for being okay with the mini episode while we were gone, and for waiting a few weeks for me to return. I thank you. And next week, we'll be back to full episodes. This week, we have this one. And I think you'll like it. It's a good one. I mean, we're talking about a lot of stuff in it. It's fun. As a little treat. I don't know why I just did a jig. You can't see me. As a little treat, I will let you know that this is coming out Wednesday. And some very me-specific something will also be revealed soon. I'm just going to say that something will be revealed soon, publicly, that I am happy about. So listen, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, just keep your eyes and ears open that week because there's something fun that's coming. Okay, that is it. Stick around. We have some words from our wonderful sponsors. We have a lot of returning ones in 2025, which is fantastic. I'm so excited to be working with the ones I love again. And I will see you soon. Okay, see you on the other side. Bye. Hi, it's me. Do not skip this ad because this is an ad for MEI Mouseman Travel. Yes, but it's also a comprehensive list of all the ways you will save money booking your Disney vacation this year. Because free dining is back. Hotel discounts are here. But on top of that, Mouseman Travel is actually going to pay you to take a Disney vacation. Because on top of all of these promotions that Disney World dropped, Mousefan Travel will give you a free Disney gift card just for booking your vacation with them. Not only is it free to book with Mousefan Travel, but to thank you for saving money with all these discounts and promotions, they'll save you even more money. They're going to give you money for the privilege of saving you money. See? This is why I love them so much. And if I sound hyped up and a little overwhelmed and really stress the urgency, it's because if you book now, the sooner you book, you can take advantage of as many rooms and packages available before other people snap them up and the hotel you want or the discount that you need or the package that's available just poof, disappears. And those people going to Disney World, saving money, they're not my priority. You are. And when you book with Mouse Fan Travel, you'll be their priority too. So here's what you need to know when it comes to discounts in 2025. Disney World's famous free dining promotion is back. It's on trips between May 27th and June 26th and July 7th to August 6th of this year. So that's almost all of June and almost all of July. Free dining requires a minimum 3-night length of stay and a minimum 3-day park hopper ticket. And if that doesn't really work for you, don't worry. Disney World has a zillion more discounts, including up to 30% off hotel rooms all summer on most nights from May 1st to September 30th, which is almost half the year that you can save money on your hotel and still get that Mouse Fam travel gift card. They've even got this Disney World package deal where you can save up to $200 per night on most stays February 26th to June 30th. They've got up to 25% off rooms in early 2025. They've got Florida resident discounts. They have discounts all year long. They've basically got enough numbers and percentages to fill an AP statistics exam. And Mouse Fan Travel's vacation planners will make sense of all of it. They will do better on the AP stat test than I did. And they will find you the best deal possible. So please reach out to Mouse Fan Travel today to save money and make money back at mousefantravel.com/amusing. And again, you are eligible for that free gift card, up to $250 just for booking for free with Mouse Fan Travel. If you've never used a travel agent before or just want to see what it might cost to squeeze in a family vacation, reach out for a free quote, tell them I sent you, and enjoy the extra dollars in your pocket and those planning experts on your side. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to today's minisode, catching you up on everything that has happened since we last spoke in 2024 with our series of holiday episodes. And I gotta tell you, this weird thing happens when I take a hard break, which I haven't done in a while. I took one maybe fall of 2024. I feel like I needed a few weeks to catch up on production stuff. But since then, we haven't taken a few consecutive weeks off. And this thing happens where I lose my stamina. Like, similar to if you're a runner and you don't run for a few weeks and you try to run again, like your lungs are burning. You're like, oh, how did I ever get to that pace? Like, how did I hold this? I feel that way with podcasting, and podcasting isn't very physical. I mean, I now record standing up because I like to bop around a little more, but I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm at altitude. Like, oh my God, I haven't yapped out loud in too long. I'm glad we came back because I don't think I could have gone much longer. Anyway, hello, welcome back. I hope you are having a nice start to the year. I know I've been talking a lot about how my year has gone, and I hope that yours has gone well. This is kind of that midpoint, like teetering towards end of January, where it's like, uh-oh, am I still holding up to my resolutions? Someone said once, like, 3 weeks is what makes a habit. So around there is when it's like, oh, did it stick or did it not? And again, resolutions don't have to be the basic, boring stuff that the pretty toxic stuff they raised us with. Resolutions can be anything. My resolution was to actually take my medicine, which I somewhat accomplished. There was a big chunk in the middle of January where I was like, the last thing I need right now is to be even more focused, because I was quite in it for a while. But I now, I'm now back to taking my meds every day. I'm trying again. The other goal I had, which I never usually tell people goals, but I feel like because I had this hard pause mid-January where I was like, goals don't matter right now. Now that I'm trying to build them back, it's kind of nice. It's like, oh, I've accepted the temporary failure, but I have a solid reason for it. So I'm just going to start again, because why not? There are no rules. You don't have to do something every day. It's okay. There's flexibility in life and in resolutions. So my other one is that I wanted to just write down, not even like a diary, but just like a little one-page notes of like a highlight of that day, or like a thing that happened that day. I know that many of you have probably seen on Instagram that I've started doing Rose and Thorn every Sunday night. It's basically this thing, long story short, I used to do it an overnight camp. We would kind of recap our day, go around the cabin and say our highlight of the day, which was the rose, and our low light of the day, which was the thorn. And I feel like time is passing me by so quickly. Just Pearl keeps getting older and older. And you're like, when you have a kid, you're just in this routine where it's like a schedule every single day. And time just keeps washing over you. And I felt like I really wanted to, at the end of every week, check in and see how other people's weeks were going. Give them an opportunity to share their rose and their thorn. Give myself a place to share my rose and my thorn. It just seemed like, again, this is how the FOMALY kind of started originally, was that I was DMing with everyone about Starbucks cold foam, but I was DMing with everyone directly and talking to them one-on-one. And I realized we should all just be talking together. Like, we all have the same interests. We all would be friends if we were physically hanging out. We should all just be in the same place together. And obviously this was before the podcast, but that's how the FOMALY started. And then wait, was it before the podcast? See, I have no grasp on time because I started the podcast during the pandemic. FOMALY was pre-pandemic. Yes. Okay. It was before the podcast. See what I mean? I have a really bad grasp on time. Like really, really bad. Like in a wordy some way, it worries my mom. I know it does. Mom, don't bring it up. I'm worried about it too. It's bad. But anyway, so I kind of felt like that. Like I want all of us to be able to check in with each other and make it easy and just have it be boom in the feed, in the comments. Like you don't have to go to Facebook to go to the group to do it. Like I wanted everyone to be involved. So I started this Rose and Thorn thing on my Instagram, and it's been really good. I guess that's kind of goal adjacent. And I've been doing that, but I wanted to do this daily thing, just writing down like little things, because I know that I'm going to look back on this time in my life where I have an almost 2-year-old. I'm kind of like mentally sort of getting back in the game when it comes to work and things. Like, I really wanted to write down these little memories because I think they're so fleeting. And I take photos of everything because I know I'm like this, because I know I can't remember things. And I think a lot of people think I'm doing it for social media purposes. No, I'm taking photos because my brain kind of don't work and I'm just floating through life trying to grasp onto whatever I can grasp onto. So I always have all these memories banked, but it's just really nice to like write a little page and just kind of get these, maybe a little anecdote or maybe a little story, or maybe a little like, wow, today was tough, a little reflection, which I never, ever do. So those have been my two goals in 2025. I'm picking them back up again this week as I really like start what is the, I guess, the first real week of 2025, because obviously things in California have been bananas. And I promised myself I would not talk about it too much on this episode because we all know what's happening here. We all know it's chaos. Full neighborhoods have disappeared from our city. And on top of that, we don't know if the air is safe. We don't know if the water is safe. We don't know if it's going to be safe to be near the soil in some of these places. Is this stuff getting blown around? A friend the other day was like, I heard from someone that some of the particles in the air that have settled in the sand can never be cleaned. Like there's just no information and really no clear guidance because everyone's just kind of guessing because I guess the experts aren't used to this size of catastrophe happening as the city around it continues to function as normal. So it has been absolutely wild, absolutely wild. Like evacuation, running out of town. Outside of that, like literally even just being back in LA, people who are, you know, going to work, going to the grocery store, doing the regular stuff, it's still just kind of like, I have a dear friend who has two wonderful dogs that she cares for very much. And I know even she's frustrated being like, what am I? I don't know what's safe for these dogs. I don't know what to do. So it's been wild. And it does feel very nice to be back on mic to the podcast, just feeling a little bit of normalcy. And I'm very glad that you are here with me as well. Because if you know me, I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist. I don't think that describes me very well because I'm quite rough around the edges. And Lord knows the outfit I'm wearing today does not scream perfectionist. I'm wearing a stretched out sweater from my pregnancy, a old worn out Urban Outfitters tank top from about 14 years ago, bike shorts from our sponsor. Oh yeah, I'm not kidding. I wear those all the time. And knee-high compression socks that look kind of, they're tie-dye, but they look a little like my legs look like it could be, you know those printed socks where it's photos of stuff? It looks like it could be a photo of marbled beef, which is not a good look on my skin tone. I'm just going to tell you, not on anyone's probably. It does not. I saw someone staring at me weird at the gym today and I was like, oh yeah, they're just trying to figure out if my socks, if that's my skin or if that's tie-dye or if it's just meat slabbed all over my legs. So yeah, things are a little all over the place. And I am not a perfectionist, and that's fine. But with this podcast, I take it very seriously. I take it very seriously. And I'm always like, I'm not willing to put out an episode if it's not 10 out of 10, 100% perfect. And this week, I feel like my version of perfect is just to be here and to catch you up on everything that's been happening in my life and around my life. And that I think we absolutely can do. I think that is extremely doable. And I also like my gut perfectionist to be like, how are you guys? But this, you know, it's not a conversation. It's just me. As you can tell, nobody in Los Angeles can focus right now. Nobody can focus. Basically all my friends are creatives and all of them are like, how am I supposed to be on a call? How am I supposed to be giving notes? How am I supposed to take like script? And everyone works in Hollywood, obviously. And it's like, how am I supposed to take script notes when like all I can think about is that so many people I love's lives have just been upended and there's so much work to do over the next few years and there's so much help that they need immediately in finding clothing and supplies and like feeling like themselves and like getting them little things that like, oh, it's like, even like the gift of like giving someone hair care or something that they're used to having when they don't have it anymore. Like, it's just, as you can tell, like it's hard to not spend all of your energy doing that, which is what I did last week, which is why we are here. And again, I thank you. I'm going to thank you 4,000 times in this episode for being flexible, but I promise that's going to be as much as I will talk about California. I will try to keep it limited because there is so much that has happened since we last spoke. I can't believe the Disney Treasure was like a month ago, over a month ago. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful ship. What a wonderful time. I truly loved it. I truly, truly loved it. I'm pretty sure we did speak on the podcast. I know I posted a ton about it on Instagram, but if you don't remember, my daughter, my little girl Pearl, is fully obsessed with The Grinch. Fully obsessed with The Grinch. And I'm here to tell you that recording this on January 20th, The Grinch obsession has not ended. You know how most people get the note in the new year? They start taking down their lights, they put the tree into storage, or just leave it like sitting by the garbage can, even though everyone knows you're not supposed to do that. Isn't there like specific protocol for throwing those out? You're supposed to like put them in a bag or something? I feel like nobody does that. I obviously don't know, but I feel like nobody does that. Anyway, my daughter is still obsessed with The Grinch. When we wake up, when we are in the car, when we are in the 2 hours before she goes to bed, where we're just flopping around the house trying to find something to do, this... How the Grinch Stole Christmas is playing the entire time. The soundtrack. The soundtrack is playing the entire time. And I'm talking like the old original TV soundtrack, which probably makes you think, wow, she must love that version of the movie. Actually, she's never seen it because the only version that she has seen is the Jim Carrey version. She loves it. She loves the Jim Carrey Grinch. And I think it has to be because we saw him at Universal. And so she saw him a few times in person and was like, what is that? And he just stuck in a way that like Shrek or Goofy, who I've been pushing a Goofy agenda for years. Like these other characters just didn't stick the same way as the Grinch. And now we're a Grinch family. Like I'm deep into January Googling Grinch pajamas and Grinch bedsheets and like a Grinch hooded towel that she can wear after the bath. Even a Grinch costume, to which my husband said absolutely not because she will never take it off. And then she'll be walking around the house in this like furry green outfit, which I thought would be funny. And he's like, we can't let this into our house. Like we can't have her wearing a Halloween costume every day. It's just, you know, we don't need that yet. Basically it's me like presenting her the opportunity. She doesn't need it. We don't need it. We're not going to do it, but I do kind of want to do it because she loves the Grinch and that our January just feels kind of like an extended December. Because all we've been doing, sorry, I'm taking my sweater off because it's weirdly warm in my office. All we've been doing is listening to the Grinch nonstop. Now, last year we did the Gab Sesh episode about Disney World. We did the Disney Treasure episode, but we also did this tiny little like 6 minute episode about the best holiday experience I've ever had, which was going to the set of Gilmore Girls, going to Stars Hollow on the Warner Brothers studio tour. And I have to tell you, before we start the regular programming for 2025, which is coming next week, I went back. I fully went back. I went back. And I am still emotionally fulfilled from the second trip that I went to. I went on, okay, now I have to find, let me look at the calendar. I don't want to get these dates wrong because it's integral to me telling you this story. So let me see, January 4th, was it? January 5th. January 5th, Sunday, January 5th, the last day of holiday time at Universal Studios Hollywood, the last day of Gilmore Girls on the Warner Brothers studio tour. The next day, the 6th, the last day of holiday at Disneyland. And I did all three within 24 hours. Now, the reason you haven't heard about this is because our city literally engulfed in flames moments after this. Like, the next day is when it all began, so I never spoke about it again. But I, within about 24 hours, went to Universal to see The Grinch, went to Stars Hollow and walked around, and then went to Disneyland to write It's a Small World Holiday with Pearl. I did so much in that little end of holiday bubble. I was exhausted, but it was so worth it. Because let me tell you, this ended January 5th. January 5th was like, the door is closing to Stars Hollow. You need to get in. Because ever since I went the first time, I have just been binging Gilmore Girls, binging it. And this is not a show I grew up with. I watched it for the first time when I was pregnant, and literally while I was giving birth. And then I think I mentioned this on that episode. And then when Pearl was really young. So I was in what I would call a different type of mental state when I watched it. I really didn't retain a lot from the show. I loved it. I know all the characters and the storylines, but I'm not like a true diehard fan in the way where I know every single tiny reference, or at least can recall it quickly. Now, I am so deep in Gilmore Girls, I cannot stop watching it. No matter what I'm doing, I am watching Gilmore Girls. I turned it off to record the podcast, but let me tell you, I will be watching Gilmore Girls the second this recording is done. When I email Jeff to be like, Jeff, the episode's done, Gilmore Girls will be on my iPad, my little Gilmore Girls television machine. And my friend Julie Tremaine and I, a wonderful reporter who also covers theme parks, we ended up spending the day together. When I went, I brought my friend Jamie and we went to the Warner Brothers studio tour when the day after they opened all of this, like right at the beginning when they opened Stars Hollow. And as you can imagine, the response was huge because by the end, when we, Saturday, January 4th, the day before it closed, we were like, yo, we gotta go back. Like, we full on like lost. We gotta go back. We had to go back. We were stalking tickets and they were completely sold out. I was on all of these other third-party websites like Klook and I think it's called like Get Your Guide, all these random websites trying to find one ticket here and one ticket there that we could piecemeal together. Julie found two. I went to buy them. They were gone. I found one. I couldn't find a second one. And the first one, I could tell all of the second-party, the third-party websites had the same inventory of this single ticket that may or may not have been available. It was too much. It was truly so upsetting. So Sunday the 5th, the morning of the 5th, when I was like, you know what? I'm taking Pearl to Universal. That is special. That is fun. Let me enjoy the end of the holiday at Universal and not really worry too much about doing something I've already done. It's okay. I had my time. I need to accept it. Now, was I spiraling inside? Because every time I watched Gilmore Girls, I was like, I'm standing in the same city that's in. I'm standing in the city. I could be there. I could be there at Luke's. I could be there at Toasties. Like, I could be at all these places right now and I'm not. And why am I not there? So it was really coloring my experience of rewatching the show. And she, as a diehard Gilmore Girls fan, was like, we got to go back. We got to go back. We got to go back. So in the morning, I checked the website and there are some tickets. There's some tickets for that morning. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, there's tickets back. And I click on them and I go to buy them and they don't exist. It's like a button, the type of button where like you push on it, but there's nothing there. It was like, sorry, dude, it's not real. It's not real. It's a fever dream. You imagined it. It's not happening. And I was like, okay, it's a sign that I just need to be okay with it. Clearly, the universe does not want me to be there. I go to Universal. I hang out with Pearl. I come home. I think it was a particularly rough day because I think this was the visit. I take her there all the time. There was one visit lately where I forgot the stroller. I think that might have been this one. And she's a heavy little girl. I'm weak and she's a little chicken. So it was draining. I get home, I get her down for her nap. I walk in the kitchen, I exhale. Oh, you know, like finally got that part of the day done. I am exhausted. That Grinch meet was a little dramatic. She freaked out. It was a whole thing. I was like, I'm home. I'm relaxed. I open my phone. I don't even notice that my body is searching the website and looking for tickets. And all of a sudden, they dropped tickets. They dropped brand new tickets. I must have checked right at noon, like something at noon, they released whatever was left for the rest of the day. And I texted Julie and I was like, they have them. And she's like, get them. And we immediately bought them. And a couple hours later, like 90 minutes later, I was in my car on my way to Stars Hollow. It was magical. The first time I visited was more during the day, and I was just slack-jawed the entire time. I could not believe what was going on. I had a gigantic brown bag of popcorn that I was just shoveling in my mouth the whole time. We got to go into Luke's. That's when Luke was FaceTiming when I got blown away. I have that video online. I'm sure you've all seen it. We went in every single store. We looked at every single piece of merchandise. We left no stone unturned. We even did trivia. Like, we did everything they had. So now, on the second visit back, we can just vibe. Like, we can just hang out and enjoy. And we did. This time, the actor who plays Luke, Scott Patterson, was actually there for like the final night. We were there for the final night. And we got to be there for when the sun goes down. We got to be there for their tree lighting ceremony. They projected fake snow. Like, it was just divine. But the best part was that Julie got some food. I was just eating a bag of popcorn, as you know. Like, I love to take the train straight to dehydration station. And we were looking for somewhere to sit and hang out. Because again, it was very busy. This is the last night of a much hyped experience in LA. It was busy, busy, busy. And I happened to see someone sitting alone at a table. There were a few extra chairs. And I was like, are you using these? Is it okay if we take these two chairs? They were like, yeah, of course, no problem. So I pulled the two chairs away. I put them on the lawn of where they have the Dragonfly Inn, which is kind of across from the gazebo in this setup that they did for the event. And we just sat there and ate and gabbed and people watched the entire time. It was heaven. I was sitting there just being like, we are in Stars Hollow. We are sitting. We are looking at people. People were getting engaged in the gazebo. People were like walking around, taking their photos, looking so happy. It was so magical. It was so nice to be back, to the point where now, not only am I watching the show not being like, I should have gone back, but I am watching Gilmore Girls actively excited to go back to this many, 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 many times if/when they redo it at the end of 2025. Now, I think them doing this is subject to shooting schedules because, again, Warner Brothers is a working lot. It's kind of their philosophy is basically like movies above all, which I know because I've been on the studio tour a lot at this point because you gotta go to the studio tour to go to Stars Hollow. I went to the studio tour like twice within 2 weeks. It's a lot. It's a lot. My tour guide on the most recent one was incredible though. I learned so many things I didn't know before and they really navigate. Listen, it was the best tour guide I've ever had on a studio tour ever. So that was a real treat. But if they need to use the lot for something, they won't be able to do this. But I feel like this event was so successful, there's 1,000% chance it will be happening again. So definitely make sure to plan in advance. I will be talking about this on a future podcast. Stay tuned. But plan in advance. If you heard that episode, if you're hearing this now, if you're like, I want to go to that Gilmore Girls tour, it is worth traveling for. I like fully asked someone who works PR if they would sell a seasonal pass because I want to go more. I want to go like a theme park. I want to go like all the time. I want to go every day. It was absolutely spectacular. It was spectacular. And I keep thinking about like, what is it about this experience? Because again, I'm not even that diehard of the show. I am now. But like, I like a lot of television shows and I don't feel the same way about any other set or any other city. And I think it's that this specifically is such a cozy small town show. And that cozy small townness of it all is rooted in this one location. And the fact that you can visit this full location, you know, it's not a soundstage. It's not like, oh, like one set piece. It's the entire set that you know and love. And the fact that they can dress up the entire city to feel like the things you've seen in the show and like fully prop it out. Oh my God, it was amazing. It was amazing. By the end, Julie and I just walked to go to Lorelai and Rory's house. And it looks like it's a front house. It's actually a back house. Ah, if you've been on the tour, you might know that. The front house, I believe, is Sookie's house. The interior was used as Sookie's house. The front, I do believe, is also Sookie's house. But it's basically like two fronts of houses, bloop, glued together. So the back, the technical back of the structure is the front of Lorelai and Rory's house. And it was decked out in lights. I hadn't been there at nighttime before. We walked through. We may have snuck through. Listen, I'm not one to break a rule, but there was lines to take photos. We'd already taken our photos. We didn't need photos. We just wanted to stand and stare at the house. And we just stood in the grass, away from everyone, just staring at the house, trying to like soak up the magic and the memory of it. It was wonderful. And it's one of those reasons where it's like, wow, I really live somewhere special. The fact that this can happen and it's something that I can buy tickets to and just go on a whim. Like, this is really a very special city, and I'm very grateful to live so close to it. It was amazing. But that's not the only amazing thing I've done since we last spoke. We're going to take a very quick break, and then when we come back, I will tell you about everything I did in Las Vegas. Stick around. Oh, January, a month where you kinda need something to look forward to. I mean, it's cold out, it's dark, that multi-month holiday bonanza of Halloween into Thanksgiving into the winter holidays has ended. But there is still a glimmer of joy on the horizon for me and for you, because I'm taking this time to treat myself to a little something special, all without spending a fortune on my winter blues. That's obviously where Quince comes in. Because with Quince, you can treat yourself to everyday luxury at an affordable price. Whatever you're looking for, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, including their iconic Mongolian cashmere sweaters, which start at $50. I'm obsessed with Quince because I remain blown away at how high quality all of their items are. I am hooked on their exercise gear because honestly, the price is right and the quality is better than a lot of the other stuff I own. I have their bike shorts, I have their leggings, and I am finding ways to wear them daily to the point where I'm like, do I even wear jeans anymore? I just keep wearing these bike shorts with a big t-shirt, with a big sweater. If it's cold out, if it's hot out, I am always in Quince because truly, they're some of the best stuff that I own. And I feel good knowing that I'm saving money on these purchases, all while guaranteeing that I get stuff that uses premium fabrics and finishes for that luxury feel in every piece. So treat yourself to something during this gloomy winter without the hefty price tag. Go to quince.com/amusing for 365-day returns and free shipping on your order. For someone who procrastinates like me, that's a pretty good deal. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. If your New Year's goals have anything to do with ordering less delivery for dinner, welcome to the club that I am also president of. Thankfully, my savior for keeping that 2025 dream alive is HelloFresh. You already know a lot about America's number one meal kit, but did you know that they have 15-minute meals that are done in three simple steps? Or a lineup of prep and bake meals that come together with minimal mess and only 5 minutes of preparation so the oven does all of the work and you don't? There are options for every household with HelloFresh. So basically, if you don't want to waste time shopping, prepping, and planning, and you actually want to keep those goals like I do of not just resorting to delivery, trust me, there is a HelloFresh meal plan for you, which is why I love it so much. To have all the ingredients pre-portioned saves me time and money and energy and keeps me from having all those wilting vegetables in the fridge, the ones that I buy when I think I'll find a way to use them. I'll find a way to use these in a recipe this week, and then I just never do. HelloFresh really saves me from myself, and I am very thankful to them for it. You can get up to 10 free meals and a free high-protein item for life. Ooh, TikTok would love. At HelloFresh.com/amusing10FM. One item per box with an active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals. Just go to HelloFresh.com/amusing10FM to get that offer. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. I also took a quick little break to go and get a little snack. I just carved off a hunk of pepper jack cheese to feed myself with, and I got to witness my daughter eating an entire container of blackberries. Do you know how expensive organic blackberries are in Los Angeles? This girl just polished off probably $9 of blackberries that I thought would last 4 days if we stretched them. Polished them off as a snack real quick. She loves to eat just like her mom, but oh my God, $9. Okay, if you're a parent, you understand, but $9 blackberries. Oh my God, she's happy and that's all that matters, but oh my gosh, She's hooked on berries. Anyway, over the weekend, I went to Las Vegas for my brother's surprise 40th birthday party. Basically, the way it worked is that him and his wife were going to Vegas celebrating his birthday, and his wife, without him knowing, arranged for all of his friends to fly from around the country to Vegas to surprise him in little groups. Some people were there when he got there, some people came that night, some people came very late at night the next day, I came the next afternoon, and I spent about 24 hours. I'd say like, listen, if I was better at math, I'd say like 27 or 8 hours, but 24 hours is a rounder number. It's easier. I spent about 24 hours in Vegas. And Vegas is a city that I have mixed feelings about, which I'm sure many of you do also. If I'm like, I want to walk around and have a good time, I'm going to a theme park. That's typically how I am. But yet, every time I wind up in Las Vegas, because I've only visited as an adult, my first trip was after I lived in LA. So I've only been like 5 or 6 times, all of those times as an adult, I have figured out a way to find things that I love. Because there are so many things to appreciate about this city, even if you're not there for the main events. Like, I'm not usually there to go out hard and party and gamble. That's not what I do. And yet, I'm always able to find really cool stuff to do. Like this trip. We had a schedule. We did stuff for my brother's birthday. One of the things that they arranged was go-kart racing, which was very fun. I did it one round, and I went slow. Everyone else was like real good at driving circles around each other, and I was just basically in the right lane, like beep beep, feel free to pass me. I had a ton of fun. Everyone loved it. That was a blast. Then I had a few hours free, and I walked around New York, New York, which is a hotel I've only really breezed through once. But they have this section that basically is like a little fake city. It's like a little themed land inside the casino. They have like a little fake Times Square sign display where there's these neon signs, so many beautiful signs that are up there for like Panasonic and stuff you don't really see anymore. They have a fake little Lower East Side. I think one of the blocks was supposed to be kind of like Chinatown. And as someone who lived, not Lower East Side, I think it was Little Italy in Chinatown. And as someone who lived right there in New York, I used to live in Soho, like right there. It was just really fun to walk around and see this little fake indoor city, because I love a fake indoor city. I can't get enough of an indoor themed area, and Vegas has a ton of that. And while usually it's just to offer like food and shops and things to do while you're like walking around spending money, for someone who loves a themed environment, boy oh boy, is it a delight. Now, in that little New York themed area, they also had part, you could see, I think it was the end of the New York roller coaster. Like you could see it kind of pulling into the station. I have never been on that roller coaster. You'd think I'd go on it. Mm-mm. My bones are very brittle. I cannot handle it. And I feel like Arthur Levine, who is the go-to roller coaster expert, who, by the way, Arthur Levine is so legit. He is name-dropped in, about to bring it full circle, Gilmore Girls. He is name-dropped literally in Gilmore Girls when they are like going on their trip and they're like trying to find the best roller coasters to go on. Arthur is name-dropped in Gilmore Girls. That's how legendary Arthur is. He's a friend of mine. He's been on the podcast, as you know. He's the best. But I feel like Arthur was like, if you don't like bumpy roller coasters, don't go on it. It's not for you. And it is not for me, and I have never been, but I dream of going on it. And if you've gone on it and have a memory you'd like to share, please call in, because if you didn't think it was that bumpy or rickety and you think I could handle it, let me know. And maybe I will go next time I'm in town. And while this trip was, again, someone else's itinerary, we were hanging out, we had a blast. We went to Lotus of Siam, which is that wonderful Thai restaurant, which was so good. We went to the Wynn Buffet, which was so good. I just always like to sneak in some little shenanigans, just a few little shenanigans, as you know, I love to do. So on this break, I started at New York, New York. Then where did I go after that? Oh, I did a little shopping. I didn't buy anything, but I love to look. Your girl loves to look at fancy things. And then from there, I went over to Rainforest Cafe. And listen, I don't imbibe much. I'm not the type to sit at a bar and just get a drink. But I was like, you know what? Today's the day. If they have the bar and the vibe feels right, maybe I'll just go get like a kid's drink or something, like a smoothie or like a pina colada. Maybe I'll get something fun. Who knows? And I roll up to the bar. And when I tell you, the Rainforest Cafe in Las Vegas does not have the animal seats. They do not have the animal butt themed bar stools. They had regular, plain, boring bar stools. And I walked up and was like, I can't do this. I can't have my first solo Rainforest Cafe bar experience be a green stool. Absolutely not. So I checked in and was like, how long would the wait be for a table? I was like, maybe I can just order food and have a little bit. I don't have to finish it. It'll be fine. The wait was like 30 minutes. And frankly, I didn't have that much time because I was going to go out to this big dinner later. So the way the Rainforest Cafe is set up in Vegas and why I really wanted to visit is that part of it is outside. It's outside. Yes, they have this balcony that overlooks the Las Vegas Strip, which to me is like the wildest Rainforest Cafe experience you can have because indoor are the animals, outdoor, Las Vegas. Also, wow, I wonder if anyone like went up there and watched that F1 race. That would have been pretty sick. So I get to Rainforest Cafe. I thought I'm walking up aquarium, you know, gonna walk right in the restaurant. It is two stories. The check-in, the tiny gift shop, which only had Las Vegas themed pins. They didn't really have anything else. They had a keychain that I just didn't like enough. There was like, oh, I wanted like a sweatshirt or something. So this tiny shop, they had the bar with the subpar stools and the check-in desk. And the restaurant was upstairs. And it was very much like, you don't go up the stairs until it's your time to be seated. So I putzed around and I looked at the store. And then I just slyly made my way upstairs to use the restroom. An easy excuse in case anybody stopped me and knew what I was doing. I went upstairs. I used the restroom. You know that that door says Queen of the Jungle on it. You know it. And I got out and I was like, you know what? I kind of want to see the inside of the restaurant. And they had just called the name for a group of like 8 people. And I just kind of shuffled in right behind them. Listen, I wasn't breaking any rules. I just wanted to see what the layout was. I needed to know where all of the different animals were in the restaurant. I wanted to know what the vibe was inside because I had grand plans to try to figure out a way to come back. So I kind of like shuffled in behind this group and then I veered to the left when they veered to the right. They weren't like, who is this creep who is joining us? And I just looked around. And I took it all in very quickly, very apprehensively, because I didn't want to get in trouble. Ooh, I'm scared of authority. And while I was there, I was like, you know what? This is pretty sick. I am going to make a breakfast reservation. So I ended up making a breakfast reservation for the next morning. Again, I was in Vegas one night. I got there at like noon on Saturday and I left at 3 on Sunday. And we had plans to go to the Wynn Buffet. And I was like, I can squeeze in a Rainforest Cafe breakfast, no problem. Because Rainforest Cafe breakfast is elusive in some of these places. I think in Vegas, I feel like the sign said they only offer it on Saturday and Sunday. This is going to be a Sunday. We missed it. We were in Texas because they didn't have it that morning. Like, I really, really, really wanted to do it. I was so close. I could taste it. Literally, they have chilaquiles and Rainforest Cafe. I need to know what that's like. So I made a reservation and unfortunately, I didn't get anything at the gift shop. They had like a squeezy toy that I kind of wanted. There was just like so much. There was like stuff I would have bought had I known I wasn't coming back. But the next morning I woke up and was like, oh, absolutely not. Oh, absolutely not. Am I going to Rainforest Cafe before a buffet? My body cannot handle it. Because I woke up in Vegas feeling terrible, but not for the reasons you think. Usually you wake up feeling terrible for many a Vegas reason. I woke up feeling terrible because before I went to that huge Thai dinner, remember I was like, gotta save room. Oops, I ate about a pound of popcorn. I ate cheese corn. I ate butter corn. I ate buffalo ranch corn. I had so much popcorn and about a half bag of Jelly Bellies. Then I went out to a family style Thai dinner where I ate everything. Everything. And I woke up and my body was like, you've never had moisture in us before. I woke up so dehydrated and truly had a food hangover. Just like was so, just had eaten so much and woke up just feeling like my body was like, we are working overtime to break down all this popcorn. What did you do to us? So I could not have one. I could not have two gigantic meals. I did have one gigantic meal. I did go to the Wynn. I did make that happen. And I hit that buffet big time. I forgot how good the Wynn buffet is. We got there right at like the breakfast lunch changeover, but they had, oh my God, they had beef pho. They had a s'mores bar. They had seafood. They had these little fried spicy shrimp that were so good. They had sushi. They had poke. They had the Thai beef was great. What else did they have? I had a little salad. I had a little, there was like a little blini with roe on it. They had a teeny tiny lobster roll. They had so much stuff. And eating that entire mix of foods and so many more foods like truffle mac and cheese and all these other things, mixing all of that, I still felt better than I did waking up after eating so much popcorn. Because at the go-kart place, the go-kart place, we didn't talk about the food yet. They had nachos. They had popcorn. We got both of them. But they also had, which I didn't get because I knew I was going to indulge too much in food this trip. They had cotton candy, but they had this monstrosity called a cotton candy tower. It was only $20, but basically they come out with the shape of a cake, but it's cotton candy. Basically, they take like 15 globs of cotton candy. You know how cotton candy is basically just like a circle on a stick? They take 15 of these those orbs, the circles. They place them in like a cake-like pattern. It's like a big on the bottom and like smaller on top, kind of like a triangle. And they serve that and they bring that out. And I wanted it so bad because like $20 for a group of people, amazing. But I knew if I filled all these adults with straight up cotton candy before they had to go out all day and night, it would be too much. Like that thing in an adult metabolism, cotton candy is going to tank you. Like that's the opposite of protein. Like you are just going down for a nap. So I didn't get it and I really wanted it. And I think I made up for it with all the other snackies. But while at this go-karting place, which, oh my God, has now become a whole thing, I had a Diet Pepsi. And I'll tell you, I don't see Pepsi a lot. I'm not coming across Pepsi that much in my regular life. But my husband always is coming home drinking a Pepsi. Not a fountain Pepsi, but a bottled Pepsi. I think Pepsi Zero is what it's called. My man's always drinking a Pepsi Zero. He takes Morty on this specific walk, and I think he stops at a very specific gas station. And he gets his Pepsi Max, Pepsi Zero. I don't know what it is. It's like an aggressive label. And he loves Pepsi. So he kind of planted a seed in my brain. And I wanted a fountain soda because I recently had a wonderful Diet Coke. And amidst all the chaos in LA, when we evacuated and we were out of town, I went to McDonald's and was like, I just need a pick-me-up in the afternoon. I'm so tired. I need a Diet Coke. And I had that, you know, like a good McDonald's Diet Coke. And it was fantastic. So I was like, oh yeah, I want that moment again. I want a fountain soda. And they're like, we only have Pepsi. And I'm like, okay, I'll do a Diet Pepsi. And I took a sip and went, oh. It was like an awakening. It was a spiritual awakening drinking that fountain Diet Pepsi. And I realized I might just yet be a Pepsi girly. I might be a Pepsi girly. And so I posted this innocuously on Instagram stories, just among friends, you know, nothing troublesome. And people came for me. They came for me. I didn't expect this to be the thing that would maybe destroy friendships in my life, very real friendships. And yet the people were upset. I made a dumb little reel video with just some of the choice comments I got. All anonymous. I'm not going to out anyone for what they said. But let me tell you, the harsher ones came from my friends, came directly from people I know, and those people whose opinion I highly value. They really threatened to disown me over liking Pepsi. So I'm going to stand steadfastly in my current enjoyment of Pepsi and seek it out because I love a Diet Cherry Coke. I love that. I'm used to a Freestyle machine, but maybe I just don't like Pepsi because it's just not around. I just don't know as much. And as someone who loves a Diet Dr. Pepper, a different kind of soda, maybe Pepsi is for me. And if you're ever a Pepsi person, I see you and I recognize you. And don't let the Diet Coke people bring you down, because while I like Diet Coke, this reaction from the Diet Coke people has pushed me further towards the Pepsi camp. I am scared of y'all. I am scared of your passion about Diet Coke. I'm trying to think of what else happened on my Vegas day that I meant to tell you about. Oh, my hotel. So everyone I know for this party stayed at the MGM Grand. And for some reason, I was only staying one night. A lot of people were staying two nights. For some reason, the algorithm decided that I was not allowed to stay there for one night. If you stay there two nights, the rate was like $250. If you stay for one night, it was somewhere around $1,600. So I was not ready to like book a Skyloft suite for myself because there was nothing else available. So I looked for the nicest hotel nearby that I would feel kind of safe and comfortable staying at alone. Just because some of those hallways in those gigantic hotels are very, 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 very long. And when you are a woman traveling alone, walking down a very long hallway alone, you just want to like make sure that you don't leave opportunity to be kidnapped. That's basically it. You don't want to leave any opportunity out there down that very, very, very long walk. So I looked around and I ended up staying at the Nomad, which I'd never been to in Vegas. I spent a lot of time at the one in New York. I don't think it's open anymore. Let me fact check this in real time because I'm turning this episode quite late and I told Jeff there wouldn't be any edits. So I apologize. Hold on. Okay, the Nomad New York. Oh, is it now a Ned? Oh, it's now a Soho House Hotel? Whoa. Okay, that's kind of better. I love a Soho House Hotel, an upgrade. But I spent a lot of time at the Nomad when I was younger because when it opened, when I was living in New York, that was like the hottest restaurant in New York. And that's when I was very into going out to eat. Like that was all we did with our money and our free time was go out to nice dinners. And we went to Nomad for this one very special dinner with friends. And it was like a really seminal moment in our lives. And so I always remember like, oh, the Nomad, it's so special. And the opportunity to stay here in Vegas seemed really fun. And so I booked a room there. It was, ooh, I don't remember offhand. I feel like it was maybe $450, $500, which again, something's happening when I book trips because I booked a trip to Florida, which stay tuned in a few weeks. The hotels are unbelievably expensive when I'm there. And the same thing happened with Vegas. For one night stays, I think because it was a holiday weekend, for a one night stay, I really got burned. And that was kind of the most affordable option nearby. The Nomad was adorable. It was very swanky. It's really the small things to me. And to me, what really distinguishes a regular hotel from a great hotel is if they have personalized notepaper in the room. People stop doing this. People stop doing this. And it is such, I use that paper. I use that as my pads when I'm like writing little notes when I'm at my desk all day. I have them from every hotel I've stayed at in the past 10 years. I have so many. I collect them. I love them. I cherish them. And the Nomad had one. And it's very rare to see those these days where it says like Nomad and you have the little paper and then it says Nomad on the pen. I collected it. I love it. I love it. Like I would pay more money for my hotel knowing that that is there. And it was there. And it was there. And again, when you compare prices, again, very different cities. But the price of this was on par with a, like, kind of a moderate hotel at Disney World, depending on time. Especially during a holiday weekend on a Saturday night. You don't get little perks like that. You don't get a little robe in your room. You don't get stuff like that. And it was really nice. I got unknowingly upgraded to a suite. I don't know how. Vegas is weird. I'm not a gambler. I have no loyalty. I'm not one of those people where they, like, have you stay for free because you're going to play roulette all night. I literally don't gamble. My mom Zelled me $20 to force me to gamble. I did not want to do it. My brother stood over me and made me gamble. And I put a $20 bill in a machine and pressed like 10 buttons and it poof went away. I don't like gambling. I like to hold onto my money and spend it on candy, which is what I did. Spent $8 on a bag of jelly beans and I am thrilled about it. But my mom made me gamble and I lost and I don't like that feeling. But being in Vegas, like this room, I don't know why I got upgraded. I think the hotel was kind of empty. I don't think a lot of people were staying at the Nomad. I think they were staying at like the Park MGM, which it is kind of inside of. It's that like hotel in a hotel concept where you have a different entrance, but it's the same tower. They just rebranded different floors of the hotel to be something else. And it was nice. The room was big. The bed was comfy. The lights were very low. Like the hallway light was very like chandelier chic. It was really nice. I had a wonderful stay there. I had a little living room that I didn't use because I couldn't figure out the TV because I'm not good with borrowed technology, to say the least. But I laid in bed. I watched a lot of Gilmore Girls on my iPad when I was there, when I was getting ready. They had a little vanity. They had a little like thing that you sit on. If you heard that, my husband's home. A little thing that you sit on. You like put in like a little stool. That's what it's called, a stool. And you sit and you put on your makeup. It was just really nice. It was a wonderful stay. And it was in the Park MGM, which I also had not been to. And they had Lady Gaga costumes still on display from her residency, which I didn't realize was there. I didn't realize it was there. And they had an Eataly. They had a gigantic Eataly in the casino. I literally was like standing, ordering some sort of like meat, sloppy meat sandwich and looking over and there was a casino. It was just very cool. And there's no smoking in there. I highly recommend. I had a wonderful stay. The sandwich was pretty good, but it was a lot on an empty stomach to eat that much cheese and meat, you know, but it was good. It was really good. It was like on focaccia. And living near an Eataly, it was like wild to walk around in Vegas and be like, oh, these are all the things that Ben gets with Pearl when they go to Eataly at the Century City Mall. So it was nice. I did that. And then I also, okay, last but not least, on my flight there and back. So I was originally going to drive. Again, this was a surprise. My brother didn't know we were coming. I was only able to come for one night of it because I didn't want to, we don't have childcare Friday through Sunday. I didn't want to leave Pearl with Ben for 72 straight hours. So I was going to drive there and drive back. And Ben was like, that's a mistake. You don't want to be driving back on a Sunday. Like even if it's a holiday weekend, the traffic is going to be bad. So I ended up booking a flight. And after comparing all the flight options, again, really expensive. I have bad luck when it comes to planning travel. The flights were essentially like Southwest Airlines for a certain price that was pretty high for Southwest. Or for about $100, $150 more, I could fly JetSuite X, JSX, which is this like, I would describe it as like a group private plane that's regional. So they operate out of a lot of places now. I flew them probably 10 or 11 years ago once to visit my brother in San Francisco. 10 or 11, maybe 8 years ago. Again, bad with time. But they have since like really grown their fleet. It's pretty impressive. And it's essentially the way it works is that it's a commuter plane, you know, those little planes, but they sell it like it's a seat on a private airplane. So you fly out of a different terminal It's very quick. You check in 20 minutes before your flight, which for an anxious person, I would never do. I got there very early because I had to. But you basically like walk on the plane and you walk off and you're home. You walk on, you walk off and you're there. It was so seamless. I'm going to write about it one day when I, please hold me to it, start a blog or a website, because I just want to write little stories to go along with this so you can find these links and stuff when you're not actively listening to the podcast. It's a goal for 2025 that I hopefully will get to. Bully me. I let you bully me. Tell me I have to do it. Please, if you see me in person, be like, get that website done, because I need to get it done. But it was really like, it was like seamless and wonderful. And I like, boom, left Vegas and was home so quickly after. It was really nice. I don't think the pricing would usually work out that seamlessly. I think it would be a lot cheaper to just fly kind of a, like a regular airline to Vegas or something like that. But hey, for my situation, for the prices that were happening that weekend, for a little more money, I got to really be efficient in and out. And it was nice. So if you ever come across that in your travels, if you're doing a little flight or flying between some of the cities they go to, check it out. It was fun. I'm sure I have like a referral code, but again, I'm bad at getting those things done. But hey, if I follow my 2025 goal of taking my meds, hopefully I will actually loop back on everything and have like a database of everything we talk about on the podcast on a website at your fingertips. I think that's everything. Again, thank you so much for being flexible this week. I know this is not the episode that I anticipated and that you probably anticipated starting the new year with, but we will be back in full force next week. I cannot wait and I look forward to it. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, talk to you soon. Oh, I forgot about my jelly beans. My jelly beans! Hi, it's me. Do not skip this ad because this is an ad for MEI Mouseman Travel. Yes, but it's also a comprehensive list of all the ways you will save money booking your Disney vacation this year. Because free dining is back. Hotel discounts are here. But on top of that, Mouseman Travel is actually going to pay you to take a Disney vacation. Because on top of all of these promotions that Disney World dropped, Mouseman Travel will give you a free Disney gift card just for booking your vacation with them. Not only is it free to book with Mouseman Travel, but to thank you for saving money with all these discounts and promotions, they'll save you even more money. They're gonna give you money for the privilege of saving you money. See? This is why I love them so much. And if I sound hyped up and a little overwhelmed and really stress the urgency, it's because if you book now, the sooner you book, you can take advantage of as many rooms and packages available before other people snap them up and the hotel you want or the discount that you need or the package that's available just poof, disappears. And those people going to Disney World, saving money, they're not my priority. You are. And when you book with Mouseman Travel, you'll be their priority too. So here's what you need to know when it comes to discounts in 2025. Disney World's famous free dining promotion is back. It's on trips between May 27th and June 26th and July 7th to August 6th of this year. So that's almost all of June and almost all of July. Free dining requires a minimum 3-night length of stay and a minimum 3-day park hopper ticket. And if that doesn't really work for you, don't worry. Disney World has a zillion more discounts, including up to 30% off hotel rooms all summer on most nights from May 1st to September 30th, which is almost half the year that you can save money on your hotel and still get that Mouseman Travel gift card. They've even got this Disney World package deal where you can save up to $200 per night on most stays February 26th to June 30th. They've got up to 25% off rooms in early 2025. They've got Florida resident discounts. They have discounts all year long. They've basically got enough numbers and percentages to fill an AP statistics exam. And Mouseman Travel's vacation planners will make sense of all of it. They will do better on the AP stat test than I did. And they will find you the best deal possible. So please reach out to Mouseman Travel today to save money and make money back at mousefantravel.com/amusing. And again, you are eligible for that free gift card, up to $250 just for booking for free with Mouseman Travel. If you've never used a travel agent before or just want to see what it might cost to squeeze in a family vacation, reach out for a free quote, tell them I sent you, and enjoy the extra dollars in your pocket and those planning experts on your side. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening, and get excited for next week when we are back for real. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS, send us a voice note, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. We do not have one in this episode, as you have likely figured out at this point since we're at the ending of the episode, but we will have churros calls because we have a ton that we got over the break. I can't wait to get them back to you, and we will have them starting next week. Did I say email 747churros? Yeah, I did. At gmail.com? Yeah. Again, my brain. It's just a bowl of beans at this point. You can pick up Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com, and you can follow me at Carly Mizell throughout the internet. You can join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyMizell, and subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Mizell on Instagram. This episode was edited smoothly by Jeff Fox. Thank you so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, Mom. I love this episode. I got to relive our trip. I really love the gap session. I adore your baby more than anything, but going with you alone was everything to me. The Magic Kingdom. Good to be at a slower pace. You were saying that on the way out after it was like 6 o'clock at night or something. That was the day we went to three parks. There was nothing slow about any. This was the great race. This was so much fun. And then Hollywood was amazing. I had the best time. Three parks in one day and I was going strong. I was ready to do more. Coffee the morning of the treasure to go and run to Magic Kingdom to get Starbucks at 8 o'clock. Not a great idea, honey, and I'm so glad you listened, but more importantly, you said twice, I was right. Let that soak in. I was right. Never get to hear that. I love that. I also convinced you to walk off the treasure with our luggage because it saved so much time, but I didn't realize only that all the buses go at one time, so it really didn't matter, but we were very fast getting off. I was very proud of us. The Floridian was a great stop. We got to see the gingerbread house, which I love to see every time we go during Christmas time. And the tree was magnificent, of course. And shopping was so much fun with you. But the chicken sandwich was so great. And I think it was the Casper Island Grill. Yeah. It was so, so good because my plane was delayed for many, many, many hours. So it was really good to have that sandwich when there was nothing else. It was delicious. Wait, what? You just announced that you bought me an annual pass. I had to stop what I was doing. I was crying. I called you up immediately going, am I dreaming? Like you bought me an annual pass? Oh my God. Thank you so much. So now we have to go like a ton to make up for it. This is amazing. I am totally shocked, but I do have a couple questions. Do I get a discount at the stores now with my annual pass holder? Look at me. Do I get a discount from the Disney store online? Do I get a discount D23? Like, I need to know everything now, so I'm definitely calling you. This episode sounded so great. Everything was so clear. It was really good. I don't know why you even say that. I wouldn't have known the difference. It sounded so great. You are the best daughter. I love you so, so much, and I love you, Pearl, so, so much. See you soon. Bye-bye.